Amen. As a general rule, I don't try to drink coffee up on stage, but this is the get my throat through the morning juice, as it already feels like it's not going to make it. That's all right. We will have fun. Guess what we're talking about today? Since I wasn't here on the first, which is the first Sunday of the year, we're going to do it on the 8th, the second Sunday of the year, but the first Sunday that I'm here, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Right? Every first Sunday of every year, I hope for the duration of my time here, which should take us through about 2045, we should go through Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Why? Because they are just that fundamentally important to the life of a church. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, being brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, such by testing you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. And if you were reading along with me, you may have noticed that I accidentally changed translations most of the way through. But that happens. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How exactly are we going to look at that this year? Camouflage is going to be one of the imageries that I want us to hold, or that we need to hold, in this upcoming year. Not because I love camo, though camo's fine. Not because I hate camo, because camo's fine. My dad has lots of camouflage. I have very little. But I've seen people. I've seen pictures in some of my dad's magazines that promote camo, and they say, how many hunters can you see on the page? And the obvious answer is zero. Maybe one. Turns out there's nine. I've seen that. Where they blend in so well with their surroundings, you don't know they're there. And that's a great thing if you're hunting. That's an awful thing if you're a Christian. Because what we have a tendency to do is to see just how well we can blend in with every person around us who looks nothing like Jesus. And when I say it that way, we all think, well, goodness, I don't want to be doing that, but goodness, we do that. So God's given us a gift, right? I hope if you got a gift, it's still on your lap, because I want you to pay attention to it being there. If it's not, make sure that it is and get ready to open it later. But he's given us a gift that we have a tendency to ignore, not because we want to ignore his gift, but because we forget about it. Isn't that kind of silly? I don't think that I've ever gotten a gift and seen it under the tree and then forgotten to open it. I have missed gifts, not seen that they are there or whatever. But I've never known that one was there and then forgotten to open it, forgotten to get it, forgotten about it. Except for these gifts that God gives to us. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that is going to be the thrust of what we do. But how particularly? Philippians chapter 2 is the answer to that. And most of you, I hope, when you think Philippians chapter 2, you think the beginning of the chapter, because it's a fantastic beginning of a chapter, talking about who we are united in Christ, and then who we are as individuals, not putting ourselves high, not being conceited, not being selfish, but considering the needs of others, and then saying, and here is the Christ that we follow. Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or used to his advantage, but made himself nothing. The kenosis. It's a fantastic set of verses, but we're going past that. We're going to start after that in verse 14. verse 14. It's fantastic. You all love this. Paul's exhortation to the Philippians. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Yes! I don't like that, actually. Grumbling and complaining is a pretty easy thing to do when I go through life. When I stand up here in the moment, it's really not that hard. I cannot grumble, I cannot complain. But then whenever something goes wrong, I was sitting next to Brett last night at the Impact stuff, and I leaned over to him and I said, you know what, I might be the most critical person you've ever met. And he nodded. Yes, you might be. That's how I'm wired. And I have to be careful to not let my critiquing things turn into complaining about them. I need to make sure that when things don't go the way that I think they should go, that I don't grumble about it. Now, we all know that the way I think they should go is the right way, right? You laugh because you know me too well. I make my errors. I'm not always right. But in my head, I'm always going to do what I think is the best way to do something. Why? Because I would be stupid to not. I'd be a fool to think, oh, here's a great way to do it. This is the best way. Let's do it a different way that's not as good. Nobody does that. Nobody functions in that way. But in my criticalness, I can very quickly transition into complaining about what's going on or grumbling about why it wasn't done differently instead of saying, no, Brock, the point isn't you. The point is Jesus. In this moment, is he honored and is he glorified? And if he is, then what really do I have to complain about? That's not even the part we're talking about out of this passage. Do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining. That you, believers in Jesus, Philippian believers in this point, in this particular spot, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted or perverted generation. Do we live amongst a crooked, twisted generation? So maybe this will stand particularly well for us. So that you may be innocent and blameless children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, or stars in the universe. And think about that for just a moment. When you look up at the night sky and you see the stars, why is it that you see the stars? I was at the library not that terribly long ago for a violin recital for Josiah, and I saw a picture on the wall. It was really well done. I liked it, except for one thing. There was a giant full moon atop some water with a great reflection, a ripple in the water. I really enjoyed that. And then there were hundreds of stars around the moon. You don't see stars around a full moon. Why? Because they don't stand out. They get hidden by the light that's already there, by the current surroundings of the light from the moon, the stars get hidden. But if you shine like lights in the dark, or if you shine like stars in the universe, you are standing out. Not a little bit, a lot. In total contrast to that which is around you. Yet, as believers, don't we frequently find ourselves living more like camouflaged hunters in the woods than lights shining in the dark? That's what we're going to look at for the duration of this year as sort of a backlight to everything that goes on, standing out in contrast to everything around us. How do we do that? Why do we do that? When do we do that? How do you do it with not being belligerent? How do you do it without grumbling and complaining about this generation that we're living amongst? What do you do? How do you get there without ruining it at the same time? There's some really simple ways to go about this. But there is one that is fundamental and important. And it's not fundamental to any specific point in it. It's fundamental to the entire thing. And it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your spiritual worship. Your worship to God is not the songs that you sing, though that's part of it. Your worship to God is not the money that you give, though that's part of it. Your worship to God is not the time that you volunteer, though that's part of it. Your worship to God is your offering everything that you are to Him. Because He's worth more than everything you could give. So the only acceptable worship to Him is all of you and all of me and all of us. And when we start with that perspective, this whole shining as lights in the world thing is really pretty simple, because it should be a natural or immediate consequence to giving everything that we are to Him. But when we don't give everything we are to Him, we find that we're very dim lights in the world. We're lights that are more like camouflaged hunters than people who stand out. That's a problem. But we're not just to offer our bodies and everything that we are as a sacrifice to Him, saying every day, God, I will take what I am, I will take who I am, and I want it to be used for You. I want my conversation with this person that I'm getting together with to be for You. I want the game that I'm playing to be for You. Part of the reason we don't do that is because we know this conversation. We know this game. We know this activity. We know this way that we're going to use our money couldn't be given totally to Him. Yet do it, we still do. If we're going to make that choice, if I'm going to choose to intentionally and knowingly do things that could not be fully given in worship to Him, I shouldn't do it. Neither should you. That is a totally out of the ballpark way to live. And I will fail at it by the time the morning is over. And so will you. But when you fail at it, what we need to do is find rest, that we talked about this last year, in Jesus, having given grace and mercy through the cross and through His coming back to life. And He offers it more deeply than any of our sin could ever undo. And when He offers it to us, and when we then understand just how deeply we've fallen, just how badly we're broken, we can begin the process of understanding just how deeply He loves us, just how far His grace and His mercy go. But beyond that, we can learn to depend on Him. Lord, now indeed I find. We sang a song this morning, right? Started that way. That my what? My strength indeed is very strong. No? Lord, now indeed I find my strength indeed is small. As strong as I think I am, as capable I think I am small. And so you wind up in a place where dependence on Him as the big one is the only thing you have left to do, which is why you offer your body as a living sacrifice to Him. Not just in general, not just in an abstract, but to Him. You give all of you to Him. You offer it all to Him. so that he can use it the way that he wants. And when he uses you the way that he wants to use you, you likely won't achieve the goals that you lay out for you to achieve, but you will achieve the goals that he wants you to. For me, for us in this upcoming year, our goal that I think God has been leading me toward, though I could be wrong, the goal that's in my mind as I see God leading us is that we would stand so in contrast to the world that we couldn't help but be noticed. But not the kind of contrast that stands on the corner of a street and yells at everybody that goes by. The type of contrast that stands on the corner of a street, in that analogy, just desperately wanting salvation to come to people. Wanting to tell everybody God opens a door for you to tell. Wanting to live your life in such a way that you're there and ready to share that. Making it so that when you have lunch with somebody, you walk into it saying, God, how can I glorify you in this moment? Maybe I'm getting together with you for business so that we can, I don't know, purchase a small island together. How can this conversation be used to your glory? How can I share you to that person? Maybe you're going to play golf or shoot baskets or do some other sort of hobby with somebody. How, Lord, could this be something that brings you glory? What should I do in this moment? Maybe it's a business meeting. I don't know what it's going to be for you in any given point in time. But if we are supposed to shine like lights in the world, that's not just when it's convenient. If we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, it's not just when we want to. It's supposed to be all the time. Because God has given us a gift in this year. A gift that we're going to be able to do something with. A gift that should excite us to see how it plays out. Now, in this case, we know what the gift is. The gift is Jesus giving us life so we can share it with others. That's the gift. Jesus having given us life so we can bring him glory. So we can bring him honor. The last component of how we are to live as lights in the world is to stop being conformed to the normal goings-on of this world, to the pattern that it has set. Not just sort of don't go that path, but stop walking that path. Stop going that route. Start going the other route. Start going left when you've been going right. Stop being transformed. Look at your life. Honestly, in this next week, at some point, take 15 minutes and just look at your life and ask the simple question, do I look more like Jesus or more like the world? Do I look more like the people around me who don't love Jesus, or do I look more like the people who do? Now, that does not mean, am I perfect versus am I not? Because that's all going to put us over here. We're not perfect. You're expected to be. But the Bible also knows, God knows you won't be. So grace is given in the times when we are not, but the expectation is that we are. Be holy as their Father in heaven is holy. Therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus said. So that's the expectation. Don't miss that. But that's not the question. The question that we should ask ourselves is, do I look like I blend in with the world? Or do I look like as I follow Jesus, I stand out from it? We must stand out. If we don't, I wouldn't go quite so far as to say that what's the point of us being here, but if we don't stand out from the world, then quite frankly, what's the point of us being here? He left us so that we could proclaim his truth. But if we don't stand out from the world, his truth is going to look hollow. It doesn't change that his truth is not hollow. It doesn't change that his truth is reality, but it will look hollow to people. Because they look at our lives and they say, you talk about church, but you look just like us. You talk about Jesus, but I think I'm a better person than you are. That is a bad place to find yourself. Stop being conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed, and you've got to recognize, back to that song, Lord, now indeed I find my strength indeed is small. It does not say conform yourself or transform yourself. It says don't be conformed, but be transformed. Somebody else working on you to transform you. You must, I must live a life that lives dependent on the Holy Spirit. We have four ways that we are gauging our growth as a body. And by we, I mean me. Probably just me. It's going to get out to everybody. We're gauging it and do we grow in love? We're gauging it, do we grow in mission? Sharing the gospel with the people around us. We're gauging it, do we grow in community? Our relational component amongst each other, where we don't live isolated lives or isolated family lives, but we actually engage with each other, actually wanting each other to grow with us, to develop and help us develop. And do you grow in your dependence on the Holy Spirit? Because a disciple is someone who depends on the Holy Spirit to turn them into someone who loves God with their whole being and in turn loves those around them. And if we don't start this year by understanding and wanting dependence on the Holy Spirit, we will not be able. We will not be able to shine like lights in the dark, because it's not about us shining. It's about God shining through us. Without me, Jesus said, John 15:4, you can do nothing. You are ineffective. You are unable. You can't do anything. It's all about him shining through us to transform us and show himself to the world. Do everything without grumbling or disputing, so you may be blameless and pure and innocent children of God amongst the crooked and depraved generation, amongst whom you shine like stars in the universe, amongst whom you shine like lights in the dark, amongst whom you do not blend in. That is where we stand. And we must take steps to, as individuals, as families, and as a church body, not blend in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear your word, to have it given to us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work mightily in our hearts and in our lives to bring glory to himself, to bring change to us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you, though we don't deserve it. We do love you. Give us the strength that it takes to shine like stars. Give us the dependence on you that it requires. Allow us to be people who bring honor to you. And it's in the amazing and holy, risen, awesome name of your Son we pray. Amen.